Father, you are pleased because we know we are here because of you. We love to be in your holy presence. And Father, I just pray that as your presence is magnified, we want to decrease so that you can increase in every way. Father, we place this time all into your hands. We love you and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We pray all of these things and everyone says, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So as you all may well know, we started a new sermon series a few weeks ago. You guys remember what it's called? The Christian Atheist. And we define a Christian atheist as a Christian believer who has basically no evidence that God is in his or her life. This person can say, yeah, I believe in God, I trust in God, but there's no evidence of this because it seems like they're just doing what they want to do and they're not following the word of God. And today we're on characteristic three, which is total dependence on self. And you know what? Even for a Christian, yeah, they can be just dependent on themselves instead of being totally dependent on God. I got to share something with you. I remember years ago, I went to see a shiatsu massage therapist because my back was aching and, you know, it was giving me problems. And I heard about this shiatsu therapist that was really good. And he was in Kalihi. So I went to see him and I was lying on the massage table and this therapist started to strike up a conversation with me. And he asked me where I was from, what I did for a living, et cetera, et cetera. And so I told him I was a pastor and I was also a business owner. So he paused for a few seconds and he said, oh, I see that you're a spiritual leader just like me. And I said, oh, are you a Christian pastor too? And he says, oh, no. I help people discover their power within, that they themselves can become their own God, and they can influence others with their own godly powers. Oh, I heard that going, what? Suddenly, I knew why I was there in that clinic. I wasn't there for my back. I wasn't there for the shiatsu. I knew God put me on assignment. So I got to tell you, I shared with him my testimony. He's like, I'm like, I got to tell you about Jesus. And, you know, I just kept on going like that. And I shared him with my testimony of how God came into my life and saved a wretch like me. Can you imagine? He's working my back and I'm giving him my testimony. I spent nearly, half an hour telling him about the goodness of God in my life. And in the end, you know what he said to me? Interesting. I really hope your religion continues to work for you. As for me, I'm just fine the way I am. And you know, you realize something. For unbelievers, we can understand why they feel the way they feel. Because guess what? We were once there. Just think about the time when you were still an unbeliever. You realize people may talk to you about God and you go, oh, that's not for me. I'm fine by myself. I don't need this crutch to hold me up because, hey, I'm perfectly fine the way I am. And some of us may have taught like that, you know, and we realize for the Christian atheists, they may believe that God exists and believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but it appears that they don't have any dependence on God in any area of their lives. And we realize, you know, when it concerns maybe their relationships, you know, their health and their finances, it's just like they're on their own instead of depending on God, who is the one and sole provider for all of our needs. Amen? Because that's what the Bible tells us. We got to depend on God for every area of our lives. So look at the question here. What are the characteristics of the Christian atheist who is dependent on self? Well, look at number one here. It says they think that they what? Know-it-all. You ever met someone who is like a know-it-all? They will kind of lecture you. They will tell you everything you would ever want to hear about a certain topic. And, you know, sometimes people say, yeah, even for me, right, I can maybe go on and on about something. But I got to tell you, I remember the first year in my college, I met this young lady that was in my history class. And she sat in front of me. And one day, she just turned around and started talking to me. And she seemed really nice at first. But then as she started to converse with me, I realized that she was very different. especially in the way that she thinks. Very unique in the way she thinks. For example, she told me once that she thought, this is what she said to me, "Ben, I think that the person who invented the toilet was a moron." I'm going, "What?" This is what she said to me. So I asked her, "Why?" And she said, "You know, I feel very uncomfortable to be in a sitting position while, you know, doing the business." And I'm looking at her going, "Why are we having this conversation, right?" So I asked her, is there another way? I mean, what are you thinking? I mean, what would your toilet look like?" That's what I asked her, because she actually said that to me, right? You know what? She looked me square in the eyes, and she said, "I don't know. I'm not an inventor." And you know, people, they give you that kind of response. They say, "Oh, yeah, it shouldn't be like that. Shouldn't be the," and they themselves don't really have any other idea that would make it even better. So I got to tell you, another time she told me, this is what she said. She said, "You know, Ben, because my parents made a decision to bring me into this world, you know, I believe that they have to give me whatever I want, because it's not my fault that I'm alive in this world, and I have wants and I have needs. So they got to give me whatever I want." I was looking at her going, wow, you know, suddenly I don't enjoy talking to her anymore. And I'm trying to make sense of her logic. And I got to tell you, the more I listen to her, the more I am lost. So after a few more of these conversations, right, I always made sure I came to class late, because I always went to class early, and then she would turn around and start talking to me. So I would come, you know, sometimes a minute or two late, and we no longer have these opportunities to have these intellectually stimulating talks. And, you know, this is the thing we gotta think about, you know, in relation to the Christian atheist. This person sometimes may believe they have all the answers to life because, yeah, they may really know the scriptures really well. But here's the thing. They can make an unbeliever or a new Christian believer feel very small. In some ways, make them feel kind of stupid or dumb, right? I don't want to use those words, but that's what can happen. And this person, they may think because they know the Bible very well, everyone is inferior to them. And I met other brothers or sisters that are like that. Sometimes they don't realize this, because when you're making someone feel uncomfortable, when you're kind of like saying, "How come you don't know? You know, this is not good. This is something we should not do, because we got to show each other love." And you know, many years ago, I met someone who was in the seminary, and you know, we would sometimes have conversations about the scriptures. You know, I love to talk about the Bible. And sometimes, you know, we would disagree with each other, and he would say something like, "I really thought you were smarter than that, Ben. Oh, how do you think that made me feel?" And sometimes he would also say, "I really think you got to spend more time in your Bible, Ben, because, you know, I can teach you, but I think I got to spend a lot of time with you, Ben. How do you think that makes me feel?" Not very bright, okay? And we realize sometimes we do that without even realizing it. And sometimes, you know, when we do that, we realize the person's going to start to avoid us. And when a person thinks that he knows it all, he will usually end up damaging his relationships with other people, because guess what? You know what comes out? That spirit of pride and arrogance. And we know this is something that can take place, right? When the person is filled with pride and arrogance, they will make other people feel not so good. Now, I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8, 1 to 3. And look what Paul says here. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. "Now, regarding your question about food that had been offered to idols, yes, we know that we all have knowledge about this issue. But while knowledge makes us feel important, it is what? It is love that strengthens the church. Anyone who claims to know all the answers doesn't really know very much." Wow. "But the person who loves God is the one whom God recognizes." Wow. And we got to realize, when the love of God rules in our heart, because you can say, "I know all the scriptures. You know, I know the Bible inside out, outside in, all the way around." But you know what Paul says? You lack one thing, man, you're missing it. What is it? It's love. And we know when the love of God rules in our lives, we will never become a Christian atheist. Because listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed what? All knowledge. And if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I'd be nothing. Absolutely nothing. You catch what Paul is saying here? You don't got love. It doesn't matter. You could have all these great and wonderful gifts that God had bestowed upon you, but you don't love. You don't show a brother or sister love. You're nothing and you got nothing. Oh, Paul makes it very, very clear. And look what Solomon's observation is in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 17 to 18. I want you to read that with me. Ready? Go. So I set out to learn everything from wisdom to madness and folly. But I learned firsthand that pursuing all this is like chasing the wind. The greater my wisdom, the greater my grief. To increase knowledge only increases sorrow. Let me ask you, is that true all the time? You got more knowledge, you're going to be more sad. You're going to be more sorrowful. It's not true all the time. It's when you use your knowledge in a way that will belittle someone. You will make that person feel small. Then it's wrong, okay? And you know, I got to say, sometimes we need to fast from the internet. Because we live in a day and age where you just want some information. You go on the internet, you can get it just like that, right? Just immediate. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, sometimes I can just spend hours and hours on the internet trying to look up information. And I look at my watch, wow, 3 hours passed by. And I realize, why am I spending so much time on the internet? And sometimes we need to take a fast and say, Lord, I'm just going to get in your word. Because sometimes we think, oh, I got to get other people's opinions about what this scripture says. No, listen to the Holy Spirit instead. And you're going to get wisdom like no other. Depend on the Holy Spirit to give you what you need for wisdom, for knowledge. And you will not go wrong because, you know, can man do wrong? Yes, doesn't matter who this man or woman is. They can do wrong because they're human. They're imperfect. But is God perfect? So when you listen to God, guess what? No more mistakes, right? You know that God will not steer you wrong. He will never steer you wrong. But that's why Solomon says to increase knowledge only increases sorrow. It's because when you use the knowledge in a way that will puff you up and bring others down. And we know, sometimes the information on the internet can overload us and bombard us with too much information. We don't need all this information. Let me tell you, I'm just going to tell you straight up, we don't need all this information. We can get some information, but we don't have to overload it. Because sometimes we do. Sometimes I do. And I realize the Holy Spirit is saying, Ben, too much. Listen to me. Listen to my voice. Amen? And when you do that, you're going to realize, yeah, all the other stuff, yeah, I don't need it. I just want to listen to God. And because, you know, you got to understand something here. When we have too much information, it can get us confused. I have people come to me and say, Pastor Ben, you know, I'm trying to search the answer for this question about, you know, this certain verse in the Bible. And I spent like, oh, I don't know how many hours. I spent like maybe like 4 or 5 hours and I'm confused. And sometimes I hear it. Sometimes people, they even start to lose their faith because of too much information. Because guess what? It's too opinionated. Sometimes man will say, oh, I believe this or I think that. And suddenly this person is like, I don't get it anymore. I thought I understood it, but I don't. And I'm really confused, Pastor Ben. I said, yeah, I know. I've been there. Don't worry. Get back in the Word. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying right now. And He will speak truth into you. I want you to read what it says here in Proverbs 14:12. Read that with me. Ready? Go. There's a way which seems what? Right to a man and appears straight before him, but its end is the way of death. And that's what happens when you go on the internet and you go after one site after the other and you keep looking for answers. Guess what? You're going to think, okay, this could be the answer. But in reality, it isn't. It could be something that is totally opposite of what the Holy Spirit may be saying to you. I'm going to tell you, it can happen, because I hear it so many times, people getting totally confused because, you know, just too much information. I want you to look at point number two now. What does it say there? They think they can do it all. And you know, for some people, they become too overconfident in themselves and believe that they can accomplish anything through their own efforts. And, you know, we live in a world where, you know, people say, yeah, you got to be independent. You got to go out there and do it on your own. Well, I'm going to tell you, as a Christian, we realize we got to depend on God. Because if you think it's just you and you alone, I'm going to say right now, you're heading on a path that will lead to destruction. Because you're going to come to a point, just like that guy I talked to earlier, you know, that shiatsu therapist. He says, yeah, you can become your own God because you just got all the knowledge. You know, you got all that you need. No, we depend on God, because the Bible says He is the one who provides for all our needs. He is the source of everything that we need. You know, for the unbeliever, they may think they don't need God at all because they believe that they are solely responsible for their own achievements. And for the Christian atheist, they may say, you know, they believe in God, but they never give God glory for all the good that God has done in their lives. Never. You know, they will only say, yeah, look what I did. You know, look at my achievement. Look at my award. Look, give glory to God for it. Amen. I just love it. You know, those athletes, you know, when they win these championships, you know, and the announcers, right, you know, they're totally irritated. They're irked when they say, oh, do you have anything to say to the world about all that you have achieved? And the guy says, I give glory to God. And the announcer said, no, you know, don't say that, right? Isn't it true? You see, I seen that. We're almost like, say, no, you can't say it. No, don't. Just tell us about all the training you did, you know, all the long hours you put in. And the guy says, no, Jesus is the one for all the accomplishments that I have made. When I hear that, man, something just touches my heart. When I hear a Christian brother or sister saying that, because you know what? I believe God will continue to bless this brother or sister because of the fact that, you know, He knows that all that He can do comes from Him. And the more you give glory to God, I'm going to tell you, the more achievements will come forth in your life. Greater achievements, because the fact that you know it is God that enables you to do what you can do. You know, the Apostle Paul saw that this was a case upon the Christians of Corinth. He saw that, you know, they started to almost like saying, yeah, come on, pat me on the back because I did this. Don't you know I'm responsible for all the people coming to know Jesus Christ? This was happening in the church of Corinth. And, you know, the Apostle Paul corrected them. And, okay, this is not in your notes yet, okay? This is in 2 Corinthians 3. And I'm going to start at verse 1. You're going to come in at verse 4. Just listen, okay? I'll tell you when it's in your notes. Okay, this is what Paul is telling the Christian Corinthians, okay? This is what he's saying to them. He says, are we beginning to praise ourselves again? It's almost like an adult talking to little children, yeah? He said, are you praising yourselves again? Are we like others who need to bring you letters of recommendation or who ask you to write such letters on their behalf? Surely not. The only letter of recommendation we need is you yourselves. Your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ, showing the result of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts. And it's not about what people see you as, all these accomplishments. No, what is written on your heart? This is what people can see as you live a life, giving God all the glory. See what I'm saying here? When you give God all the glory, they're going to see it written in your heart that you truly are one who knows Jesus Christ. Okay, look what it says in verse 4 now. Okay, now Paul continues. It's in your notes. It says, we are confident of all this because of our great trust in God through Christ. It is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. What does it say there? I want you to read it with me. Ready? Go. Our qualification comes from God. He has enabled us to be ministers of his new covenant. This is a covenant not of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. And Paul makes it very clear. Don't you realize it's the Holy Spirit that has enabled you to do great and mighty works for our Father in heaven? He has enabled us. In other words, without the Holy Spirit, you can't do it. And you know, that's the thing. We realize that is good. Because if we think we really can do it all, there's going to come a point you're going to say, I don't need God anymore. You see, that's why it's so important. You got to give God the glory. And the more you give God the glory, the more great and mighty things God will bring forth in your life. Listen to what Jesus says in John 15, 5-6. I know you probably know this scripture. I want you to read it with me. Ready? Go. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned up. Wow. And that's what it is. Apart from God, you can do nothing. You are nothing. I mean, even the works will be burned up because you think it's all you. Wow. You know, in 1986, there was this group of researchers that published a study of Japanese mothers and mothers in the state of Minneapolis, okay? And the mothers were asked to rank the most important things that a child needs to succeed academically. What do you think it is? Well, the answers tell a lot about the difference in the two cultures today. And you know the mothers in Minneapolis, you know what they chose? They chose ability. Ability is the most important thing for great success for your children. The mothers in Japan said effort. So one is ability, the other, right? The mothers in Japan, effort, because they say hard work will get you anywhere, right? This is the Asian way of thinking, right? You know what I'm talking about. So what about for the Christian believer? Is it about ability or is it about your effort? Well, I'm going to tell you, it should be both. Because here's the thing. We know that our abilities to do anything good comes from who? Comes from God. It's what is called God-given abilities, right? God gave it to you because he knows that when you use them, you're going to give glory to him. And he knows that you're going to do things that everybody going to stand back and go, how did he do that? Wow! And out of your mouth, you will say, it is God. And the more you say it is God, the more great and mighty things you will do. And that's what God will do. But here's the thing. We still got to make a choice and put in what? Effort to do what God has called us to do. Because you still can say, nah, I don't want to do that. You could have these wonderful gifts, and you probably experienced, you've seen it, where you used it, and everybody go, wow, that must be God. But, you know, whatever reason, sometimes we just say, nah, I don't have the time. Nah, I can't do that. And guess what? Does it go to waste? Because it's still inside of you, this gifting, this ability. We still have to have the decision to say, Lord, I'm giving my all. It doesn't come unless you make a choice to say, Lord, I'm going to utilize these gifts that you have given to me. And you know, an example of this is in Luke chapter 9. Okay, just listen for now. Okay, and we're going to come in at verse 62. Okay, just listen. Okay, this is what it says in Luke 9, starting at verse 59. And Jesus, he said to another person, come follow me. The man agreed, but he said, Lord, first let me return home and bury my father. But Jesus told him, let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go about to preach the kingdom of God. Another said, yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family. Okay, look at verse 62. I want you to read that with me. Ready? Go. But Jesus told him, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Wow. It almost sounds like Jesus, he was kind of being mean, yeah? Because the guy wanted to go home and bury his father, but he says, you know, let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. And then the other one says, okay, let me say goodbye to my family. And what did Jesus say? Well, anyone who puts a hand to the plow, then looks back, is not fit for the kingdom of God. Why is Jesus saying put a hand to the plow? Who usually uses a plow? A farmer, right? You know, I talked about this last night at the fishermen, and it seems like they really got this, you know. But that's what it is, right? A farmer, they wake up early, sometimes like 4:30, even before the sun comes out, right? They got so many chores to do. And guess what? There's no harder work than to plow the fields. You know what it means to plow the fields, right? You're going to break down the soil so that you can plant seeds and all that. And it is extremely hard work, but I got to tell you, if you know how to do it, and some people, they're really skilled, they can get it done in no time, you know? And I got to share this with you. You know, the very fact is, you know, you ever heard of the green thumb? People who got green thumbs, man, they can bring a dead plant to life, you know? And I got to tell you, my mother-in-law is like that, you know? She can see a plant that was all brown and withered, and you give it to her, oh, a couple of days. Hey, that's the same plant. You give them to me, it's going to stay dead, right? And this happened to me. I tried it before. But that's why some people, they have these gifts, these abilities. And the thing is, you know, as a farmer, you put your hand to the plow. You cannot look back and say, hey, my bed still looks pretty comfortable. Maybe I'll go lie down in it. And guess what? You go back and lie down, no work will get done. When you are called to do great and mighty works for God, you give it your all. Say, Lord, I'm here to give my best unto you. Reporting to duty, sir. And you say, Lord, I'm ready. And the Lord will enable you to do things that you never thought you could do. I'm going to tell you, God will do that. It's when you have a heart to serve him, you're ready to give your all. And I got to tell you, I gave this example to the fishermen. I just told him, I said, just imagine this. If you, you know, signed up for the job that you're doing right now, you're going all over the world to fish, right? And you went on the boat, and you kind of go, hey, this boat kind of rocky. I'm getting seasick, right? And then maybe you catch your first fish. Oh, this is hard work. This fish is bigger than I thought. And then maybe you thought, this is not for me. Imagine you go to the captain and say, Captain, can you take me back home? I changed my mind. I don't like do this work anymore. Captain is going to say, I'm not taking you home. You crazy or what? Right? What do? We tough it out. We say, Lord, help me. Give me the strength to give my best. Because the Bible says, whatever work I do it unto you. Amen? You give your best. You don't quit. You don't drop out. You say, Lord, help me. Enable me to give my all to you. You know, I read this statement that was once quoted from the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., you know, and it was very inspiring to me. And this is what he says, Martin Luther King Jr. He says, if you cannot fly, you then run. If you cannot run, you walk. If you cannot walk, you crawl. But whatever you do, you got to keep moving forward. That's what it is. Too many Christians, they drop out of the race because they figure it's too hard. It's too hard being a Christian. I hear people say that. And I'll be honest, I was thinking that too sometimes in my life, you know, where I was thinking, wow, it's not easy, you know, I mean, to walk with the Lord because you got to do so many. No, it becomes easier and easier as you make a decision to say, Lord, I'm giving my all to you. I want you to look what it says in Philippians 4:13. Read that with me. Ready? Go. I can do all things through him, through Christ, who strengthens me. Who what? Strengthens me. That's what you got to rely on, his strength, not your strength, because your strength is not going to cut it. It's not enough. It's not enough for anybody. But you got God's strength, you're going to see how you're going to do things that is going to be above and beyond what you could ever imagine. Can I amen to that? Amen. Amen. I want you to look at point number three now. It says they think what? They have it all. Okay, so know it all. What's the second one? do it all, right? And now it's have it all, okay? You know, I got to tell you, many years ago, I had a friend who became very successful for the company that he worked for. And, you know, he climbed, you heard of the corporate ladder, right? He started at the very bottom, and he struggled, and he worked himself to the very top and became the top producer for his company. And, you know, he owned his own property. He had a very nice car, and he thought he could have everything he wanted. And he kind of looked around and said, yeah, I do have everything I want. I'm happy. And you kind of think about it, you know, are you really happy? Because sometimes you think, you know, this is all I have, and this is what gives me joy. And I remember he was telling me, Ben, you don't have to tell me about your God anymore. Look, Ben, I did all this by myself through hard work and my own blood, sweat, and tears. All that I have came from me, myself, and I. Can you imagine him telling me this, right? I really don't need God in my life, so stop talking about him. You know, I get what I want by myself. Wow. And you can see, when you have this kind of spirit of pride, you know, it captures your heart. And suddenly, you know what? I don't need God. In fact, I think maybe I am God. And that's what some people will think. That's why it's so important you have to have a strong dependence on the Lord. Amen? This is something the Bible tells us. We have to have this dependence on God. And I got to say, if you only knew this scripture, because look what it says there in Psalm 24, 1 to 2. Read that with me. Ready? Go. The earth is the Lord's, and what? Everything in it, in the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Okay, well, what does the scripture say? The earth is the Lord's, and what? Everything. Everything. Even the minutest of the minutest amoeba, that belongs to God. So everything belongs to God. And if you have what you have, give thanks to him for it. Amen? No matter how big, no matter how small, give God glory for it. Give him thanks for it. Because, yeah, he gave it to you. Wow. And I want you to look what God says to his own people, the Israelites. Look what it says in Psalm 50, 8 through 11. Read it with me. Ready? Go. I have no complaint about your sacrifices or the burnt offerings you constantly offer, but I do not need the bulls from your barns or the goats from your pens. For all the animals of the forest are mine, and I own the cattle on the thousand hills. I know every bird on the mountains, and all the animals of the field are mine. And you know, here's the thing you got to understand. It came to a point where his people, the Israelites, right? They were questioning God. Isn't it good enough that we're giving you all these sacrifices? Because they were doing things that were displeasing to God. They started to, you know, worship other idols. They started intermarrying, you know, and it got to a point where God was displeased. But they were saying, God, we're still giving you sacrifices. That's not good enough. Can you imagine? Because sometimes don't we say that? God, I offer my time, my finances to the church. Isn't that good enough? Think about that for a second, because we do that sometimes. So the question is, so what does God really want from you and me then? Well, pretty simple. You know what he wants? He wants you and me. He wants your heart. Don't think, okay, Lord, I got all this. I'm going to give it to you. And because I gave it to you as a sacrifice, you got to take it and you got to be happy. Come on now. God wants you. God wants me. He wants my heart. He wants your heart because he wants you to know that you are fully devoted to him. Amen? And if he knows this, I got to tell you, God will bring forth more of this goodness in your life. And, you know, whatever your heart will delight upon, yeah, he will give it to you because he knows your heart belongs to him. You know, in the book of Haggai, we find that the people of God, they were building God's temple. And that is an excellent thing. I'm sure God was like, all right, okay, good, right? But read with me what it says here in Haggai 2, 6 through 9. Ready? Go. For this is what the Lord of heaven's army says. In just a little while, I will again shake the heavens and the earth, the oceans and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and the treasures of all the nations will be brought to this temple. I will fill this place with glory, says the Lord of heaven's armies. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, says the Lord of heaven's armies. The future glory of this temple will be greater than its past glory, says the Lord of heaven's armies. And in this place I will bring what? Peace. I, the Lord of the heaven's armies, have spoken. Wow. What can we learn from this? Well, once again, it's pretty simple. Because when we as Christians truly realize that all that we have, I'm talking everything that we have, comes from the very hand of God, we should always be willing to surrender whatever he asks of us. Because you know, it's not really yours. Yeah, it's in your possession, but it is God's. What are you using what God has given you to give him glory? Wow, think about that for a second. Not that, you know, God needs our gold and silver or, you know, whatever your most precious possessions are. Because guess what? It's his anyway. But when you're willing to lay it all at his feet, right, and say, Lord, you've given this to me. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to give you glory. And when you're willing to give it back to him, guess what? You're going to see that more of his presence will come forth in your life. And he will, guess what? Promise great peace. He can multiply more things in your life, but look what it says there in the last scripture. And in this place, I will bring what? Peace. Is it because of the gold and silver that there will be great peace? No. What is it? The presence of God, because you were willing to give it unto him. You know, because we can have all the riches in this world. It don't matter. If you think it's all about yourself, you're not going to have peace. Unless you know you give it back to the Lord, then you're going to have peace like no other. I want you to read what it says in 1 Chronicles 29, 12 to 16, and read what it says here about what it means to really know that all that you have is the Lord. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Oh, you get that? We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. Wow, you see that? Even as you offer it unto the Lord, you realize this is really God's. You see, when you give like that, God will multiply even more. The question is, so what happened to my friend that I mentioned earlier? You know what happened to him? He got into a very serious car accident. And guess what? His beautiful car was wrecked. And guess what else happened? It caused him to be bound to his bed for several months. And you know, he sent an email to me and several of his friends with this note. And this is what I remembered, what he wrote in the note. He says, "Hey guys, I was involved in a very serious car accident, which left me in great pain and agony for several months." Listen to what he says now. "But I thank God that I'm still alive. And I thank God for my wife and children that have supported me through this very, very difficult time." Amen, yeah? Now he's thanking God. Oh, the whole point of this is don't wait until you have lost it all to realize that all the goodness that has come forth in your life comes from the very hand of God. Don't wait till you lose it all. Why are you going to wait? No, don't. Because sometimes that can happen. If God sees your heart is getting hardened and harder, you know, sometimes he will allow things to happen because, like in this case, my friend realized, yeah, it is from God. So we got to live every day saying, Lord, whatever I have, thank you, because it came from your hand. Try, just pray like that every day as you wake up. Say, Lord, thank you. Whatever, you just look around. Whatever I have, whatever's around me, my family, my friends, my house, my car, everything. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. And I got to tell you, when you do that, your life, oh, man, it's going to be so blessed. Because you're going to have so much contentment in your heart because you realize that you are blessed in so many ways. We're going to look at the bottom line verses to bring everything home now, okay? I want you to look at that first scripture, Luke 9, 24 to 25. I want you to read this with me. Ready? Go. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but ourself, you're lost or destroyed? You know, you can accumulate much wealth and possessions on this earth through your own efforts. Is that possible? Yeah. Because even people who are unbelievers, right, they have a lot of stuff, right? But it is, if it's not blessed by God, if you're not giving him thanks, you're not giving him glory for it, you're probably not going to have the abundant joy and peace in your life to enjoy it. Because if you know it comes from the hand of God, you're giving him thanks for it, guess what? You're going to enjoy these things because you know what? You're not going to be focused on yourself, though. He's going to bring great peace and great joy in your life because he knows that your heart is willing to extend it to others, willing to say, Lord, it's not mine, it's yours. And you're going to have peace in your life. Because let me tell you, a lot of people who don't know God, they may have all great wealth and great possessions, but they will tell you they don't have peace. They don't have joy. Because guess what? It's all about themselves. And I want you to look at Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. Won't you read that with me? Ready? Go. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Get this now, because this is the first 2 points. We talk about the very fact of way that we think, right? Think that we know it all. And the second one is that we think we can do it all. So what does God say? My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. So, you know, you think you know it all. You think you can do it all. But you know what? If you're not doing it God's way, you're not allowing God to do what he wants in your life, I'm going to tell you, you're only going to go so far in life. But God can take you to places where, oh, the blessings of God is so abundant. You know, the presence of God is so real, so genuine. And you got to make a decision. Are you going to do it God's way or your way? Because he says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, brothers and sisters, what it all comes down to is how much you trust in the Lord. Because if you depend on him, you're going to trust him. Amen? And you're going to know that whatever God's going to ask of you, you're going to know my ways are not his ways. My thoughts are not his thoughts. So I'm going to trust in him with all my heart. I'm going to conclude by showing you this video that really brings it home about what it means to depend on him and trust in him with all of your heart. Benson, could you go ahead and play that, please?
Jesus, I just don't trust you.
You don't trust me?
No, I mean, I want to trust you, I just don't.
I have an exercise that I think will really help.
Oh, okay.
Stand here and face this direction. Mm-hmm. Now, do you trust me?
No, I just said I don't trust you.
All right, well, this is all part of the exercise.
Oh,
all right.
Right. Okay.
Whenever I ask you if you trust me, you say, yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Even though I don't.
It's practice.
Okay.
So, do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Now, fall back.
Are you going to catch me?
Don't worry about that part.
Okay, that's the part I'm worried about.
You can do this, okay? Just trust me.
Trust you.
Fall back.
Okay, well, Jesus, I trust
Good.
You. Yes, I do trust you. I'm gonna fall
okay.
back. Woo!
Oh, okay.
That's great.
Okay. Let's try this again. Just face this direction and keep your feet planted, all right? Do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Now, fall back.
Okay, I'm gonna do it.
All right.
I'm really gonna do it.
Okay. Good.
Ah! Oh, Jesus, you really caught me! I didn't think you were gonna catch me, but you did!
Oh, that was great!
That was great!
You're ready for level two!
Level two, here
yes.
I come, baby! Woo!
Whoa! Okay, hold it.
Oh, you know what? You're too close. You need to move back.
Ah, right.
Okay.
This one's a little bit different, Laura.
Oh, okay.
Stand here.
Uh-huh.
But face me.
Forward fall.
Okay.
I can do that.
Wait.
Whoa.
Okay. Wait for my signal.
Oh, right. The Jesus signal.
Yes. The okay. Jesus signal. Do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus. I trust you so much.
Good. Fall back.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. Especially when you do it.
Seriously?
Of course.
Okay, Jesus. I don't know if you noticed this, but there is nobody over there.
I know it looks that way to you.
Way. It is that way.
You can do this, Laura. Just trust me and fall back.
Jesus, I can't do that.
We can do it together.
I can't.
You can.
I won't.
Wow. And sometimes, don't we say that? I won't, Lord. I can't see it. I won't. And God says, trust me. Trust me. Because I only have my very best in mind for you, child. Trust me. And as you trust in God, I'm going to tell you, you're going to see miracles take place in your life. You're going to see how God's power will be displayed in your life because, guess what? You trust him. Now, even though he's in front of you. You can see him. You can experience him. He tells you, fall back. Okay. Nothing back there, but I'm going. Because, Lord, I know you're going to be there for me at all times. Amen? And that's what it's all about. When you depend on God, your trust level will be taken up higher and higher notches. Depend on him. Call on his name. Look to him with everything that you are, everything that you have. And God, he will never fail you. Amen? Praise God. Go ahead and let's bow our heads, let's bow our hearts. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the message that was spoken today. And we realize, Lord, that this is so important that we must depend on you. Because, Lord, if we think we know it all, that we can do it all, and that we have it all, Lord, we know there's going to come a point that we're going to be separated from you. That you're going to feel more and more distant from us as we rely on ourselves. Father, I ask you now, Lord, help us, Father, to have hearts that are so dependent upon you. Because we know, Lord God, as we trust in you, Father, you're never ever going to fail us. You're never going to disappoint us. That is impossible to do. Because, Lord, you know what's in our hearts. And if we trust in you, I know you're going to bring forth miracles. You're going to display your powers in our lives in ways that just will only increase our faith. Father, I thank you, Lord, for all that you started in our lives and what you will continue to do. And knowing, Father, as we fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith, we know, Lord, our lives will only get better and better and better. And if this is your heart's cry, you're saying, Lord, forgive me of those times that I didn't fully trust in you, that I didn't depend on you with the fullness of my heart. But right now you're saying, Lord, I want it. I want to have this kind of heart. I want to have a heart that is so dependent on you. I want to have a heart that looks to you in every situation, in all things in my life. I want my heart to be fully devoted to you. If this is the cry of your heart right now, saying, that is me, Pastor Ben, can you just raise your hand right now so I can pray for you? Hallelujah. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Say, Lord, that's my heart. I want to totally depend upon you. Praise God. Praise God. All right, you put your hands down. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you've seen all the hands that were raised, but most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, I'm ready, I'm willing to surrender all of me unto you. Father, have your way in my life because, Lord, I want to depend and trust in you with all that I am. Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.
To live a perfect life. He came to be the living word of life. He came to die so we'd be reconciled. He came to rise to show his power and might. That's why we praise him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King, 'cause he gave his everything. 'Cause he gave his everything. He came to live, living in us. He came to be
our conquering King and friend.
He came to live and show the lost one his love. He came to go prepare a place for us. That's why we praise him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King. 'Cause he gave his everything. 'Cause he gave his everything. 'Cause he gave his everything. 'Cause he gave.
That's the part.